We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Five Star App Meditation Studio. I'm Patricia Karpis, co-founder of Meditation Studio and your host on Untangle, along with my co-host, Ariel Garten, one of the founders of Muse, the brain-sensing headband that helps you meditate. Join us each week as we introduce you to authors, experts, and thought leaders who share their stories on how meditation, mindfulness, and brain-focused practices have the power to change our lives. Whether you're just learning to meditate or want to deepen your practice, Meditation Studio with hundreds of guided meditations and Muse, which gives you real-time feedback during your practice, are two awesome tools you'll want to have in your back pocket. Now, here's today's interview hosted by Ariel.
Anybody listening to this who thinks that we're screwballs right now, the answer is yes, we are. And also, it's good for us. Hello, very excited to introduce you to this week's guest, who's guaranteed to leave you laughing throughout this episode and at the end of it. He is Howard Moody, and he is a laughter, yoga, and play specialist. He's been facilitating play for over 30 years and is core faculty at the Omega Institute. I ran into Howard there, and in just a few minutes, he had me in stitches, connecting with the people of the room, rolling around on the floor, and delighting in the act of living. I had to invite Howard on to share with all of you a little bit of his joy and bring some laughter into your lives. Welcome, Howard.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Ariel.
Can you tell me something funny? Can you get me laughing?
Can I get you laughing? Well, laughter yoga is about just fake it till you make it. That's the whole essence of laughter yoga. You just start laughing.
Okay, so we're just going to start laughing?
Just start laughing. And then as we look at each other, it starts sort of...
It sounds pretty silly.
You've got a cute little giggle there.
Thank you. I wonder anybody listening to this, what they're thinking. This would seem pretty insane, but they're probably starting to laugh too. It's kind of infectious, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The comedian Steve Martin said his practice was to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and just laugh for 10 minutes. I dare anyone just to get in your car and just laugh.
So, let's start from the beginning. How did you get into this practice of laughter yoga?
I met a gentleman named Sim Darwick, and he taught a little sampler at Omega. And then I took a training. I took a couple of 2-day trainings with him. And then I became a certified laughter yoga leader. And then I launched out and just started teaching it at Omega to staff. And then a couple of years ago, I opened it up to the guests that were there. And I do a 45-minute session on Thursdays and Saturday evenings at Omega. And usually about 15 to 30 people show up. And I give them a short introduction. And then we start laughing. And the whole concept is fake it till you make it. Just fake it till you make it. Because my body, if I do this, my body doesn't know that's not real. And what creates laughter the most is when someone else laughs. So if you just start laughing, that'll trigger that laughter response in me. And like if someone tells a joke, in the moment it's funny, but why do we keep laughing? Because it feels so good. So we do exercise, like the first exercise we do is we go, ho, ho, ha, 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 And we just mingle around. And that just kind of warms up the voice and the body. And then we do a whole series of exercises that get us laughing. You know, so we do one that's called the meter laughter. We go, ha, 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 and ha, 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 and then we maybe compare little centimeters and go, oh, and we just keep on
laughing. Okay, you got me started.
Probably my favorite is a little bit more on improv, and they do this in laughter yoga, is they speak in gibberish. And we just speak in an alien language. And what I tell people in laughter yoga is once we say a sentence or two, then we realize that what we said is really funny. So I might say something like, "Who should come back?" And then you respond with, so that's my most fun laughter exercises. One of the most fun was gibberish. The other one that I love, I do this little joke, and I say, for people that are old enough, said, who was in the original movies or TV show, who was Tarzan's best friend? Most everyone says Jane. Jane was his partner, but his best friend was Cheetah, the monkey. So then we do monkey laughter, and we go, people just start screaming at the top of their lungs. So monkey laughter is a lot of fun. And I've gotten in the practice that I can just sit in the car and laugh. It feels one day, the one time when I was living alone for a while and I had to teach a laughter yoga, which I realized I hadn't been laughing for about a week. I said, I better start practicing. So I'd be in the car and I'd just laugh for five minutes straight. And that's a practice to just be by yourself and laugh for a few minutes straight. It's actually effort. It's exercise. Laughter yoga is a physical exercise system. By the time you laugh for 20 minutes, you're usually sweating a bit. And one reason they call it laughter yoga, because pranayama, it's breath. So if you laugh, you're breathing a lot, and it's exercise. So that's why it's so healthy for people.
Oh, that's awesome. I hadn't thought about it. But yeah, when you laugh so much that it hurts, or that your stomach hurts, your cheek muscles are hurting, it's because it's a muscle workout. Like, you can tone your abs laughing.
Totally. They say 20 minutes of yoga is essentially the same thing as 20 minutes of jogging. You don't go jogging, go laugh.
That's amazing. I'd never considered the physical, physiological benefits in that way.
Yeah.
I always thought about it from a psychological perspective, that laughter brings us joy. It's good for us. It lightens us up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It changes perspective. Laughter is the shortest distance between two people. It's instantly connecting.
So what do you see? Can you talk a little bit more about that, how laughter allows us to connect?
I can say it more anecdotally from what people say after they've done laughter yoga. They say, wow, instantly in this room of strangers, because usually when people come in at Omega, they didn't know each other walking in that room. And they say instantly they feel like everyone's their friend after laughing together. Now you can look in each other's faces. They just had this experience together of laughing, and you feel like you know this person. One of my favorite quotes is from William H. Auden, and it goes, among people who I like or admire, I can find no common denominator. However, among those that I love, I know they all make me laugh. So everybody people that you love, they probably make you laugh. You know, the people you feel laugh. I reconnected with my best friends from college. I hadn't seen one of them in 20 years and one in 30 years. And we just instantly dropped into laughing because we had played and we were best friends. And we did a lot of play in college together, just made up games and did lots of playful things. And we just make each other laugh. Both of my friends are like very much jokers. They have a really wry sense of humor. I'm kind of butt of their jokes a lot. Because I'm not a super funny person until like a joker. I'm funny when I play and I love to laugh. So
let's get into play a little bit, because you're also a play specialist.
I am a play specialist. That's
tell us about play.
Play is the way kids connect and engage with the world. And when we were five or six, that's what we did all day long as we played. So my interest has always been about how do we keep that play spirit, that play energy alive. I do work with teenagers. I create a whole live action role playing theater camp for teenagers. I still do it with my friends from Retribe up in Vermont. They have a retreat center up there. And it's amazing that what happens when people get together to play. I just recently worked with the Eleanor Roosevelt Foundation with their emerging leaders groups, all college age kids. And the first thing we did was we played, and it instantly dropped them into connection. And then we built on it with improv theater, which is another form of play that I love. And so even adults love to play. If you get them to play, it instantly creates bonds and connection and a feeling of safety and trust. So I think play is one of the most important things that we don't understand how valuable it truly is for kids and us adults.
Can we break down for a moment what is play? Because you can play tennis and play golf, or you can also, like, you know, roughhouse, play, put on a play. Like, what does it actually mean to play? Because, like, playing golf is, you know, rote activity, or tennis, like a very different activity than, you know, like joking with one another and being playful.
Yeah, we use the word play in a lot of contexts. Probably the pure essence of play is just when we're just making stuff up, engaging both our bodies and our voices, and, you know, like roughhousing is kind of a real essence of play. And when you're playing, like if you just get down on the ground and play with a 3 or 4 or 5 year old, that's the real essence of play. Now it moves into, as we grow, we're going to choose more complex things. We're going to start playing.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.
Playing sports or play video games, or you might do art or dance. It's kind of all play. And if it's fully absorbing, it doesn't have an end, specifically an end goal, then it's probably more play. So if you're playing tennis and you're keeping score, that's a little bit more of a competition. It might be playful, but, you know, let's say we just get together and we start skipping down the road, or we play with a 3-year-old rolling on the ground. That's probably more of the purity and essence of play. A great book is by Stuart Brown called Play, and he goes into the more of the definition. He finally came up with the definition. I've never memorized it, but it usually means it's spontaneous. It doesn't have an end goal. You're doing it for the pure joy of it. You're fully immersed in it. What's beautiful about play, and I know you talk a lot about mindfulness, play is a very present moment process. When you're playing, you're probably not thinking about much anything else besides just doing what you're doing. If you're fully absorbed, then that's probably being quite playful.
Can you talk a little bit more about the connection between laughter, play, and mindfulness?
I remember John Kabat-Zinn, I hope this is a correct quote, but I heard him say one time, someone asked me, what's the whole point of mindfulness to do the practice? He said, it's so that you can declutter enough of what's going on inside of you to get in touch with the authentic joy that lives deep inside you always. So I found that really interesting. That's he saying the whole point of it is to then allow yourself to touch in to that joy that lives deep inside of us. And to me, play and laughter are kind of more external expressions of that joy. And both of them, play and laughter, are very present moment processes. I do ask people when we do the laughter to watch their mind, because I tell them, I said, watch what's going to happen. Your mind's going to say, oh, is that really funny? Am I really laughing for real? I say, let that go, just pass and keep on laughing. Whenever people come to my play shops again and again, people go, wow, I was so in the present moment. I didn't think about anything else outside of my life for the last hour. So if mindfulness has helped to bring us in the present moment, then I consider play to be a very mindful process. And I consider laughter to be a very mindful way of expression. If we allow ourselves to laugh, we're tapping into joy. We're usually connecting with another human being when we're laughing. So to me, they're two of the more mindful ways of being. I think sometimes mindfulness gets a little too serious. My dear friend, Daniel Rekshoff, and one of the leaders in the field, says when he teaches, he's playing mindfulness. Huh. So when he shares it, particularly sharing with kids, he's playing mindfulness. It's a different thing, isn't it? It's like, I have to do this serious thing of
being mindful.
Mindful as opposed to
this very serious, wise individual who's acutely aware of my environment at all times.
Yeah. And I think people who really do practice mindfulness really start tapping into their joy and becoming more in the present moment, which allows them to laugh and to play in the when it's right there, you know. So,
and to have a lightness to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very well said.
Yeah, well, some of my best teachers guide you to rest your attention lightly on your breath.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, and be playful as those thoughts come in. It's like, ah, you know, I have a little moment of anger. Ah, like Pema Chodron said when she was angry one time, she stayed angry all day. She said, wow, because of all my work, then I got curious. So curiosity is that real essence. If you have that curiosity, that's a playful way of being. Curious and creative, that's playful.
It seems to me that playfulness opens the space of possibility.
Yes.
So when you're non-playful, you're in a place where things are fixed and the outcomes are known.
Yeah.
And as soon as you're in the space of playfulness, you're in a space where there is not a known outcome, therefore a place of possibility.
Yes. The quote from Jean Houston that I use in every laughter yoga, at the height of laughter, the universe is flung into a kaleidoscope of possibilities.
Woohoo!
And you just said that, essentially. So there it is. At the height of laughter, the universe is flung into a kaleidoscope of possibilities. Aha!
Well, let's throw ourselves into some more possible.
More play, more laughter. We'll make you happy.
Here, dive in. For adults who feel like they may not have much play in their lives, what are some ways to start?
Think about, I often start my classes off with what three things that truly bring you joy. And usually people mention family, nature, and something they do playful. So maybe someone knits and they get fully absorbed. Maybe someone loves to go out for a walk in nature. Just whatever really brings you joy, that's where you want to spend more time doing. I dig into Stuart Brown's work a little bit in some of my classes and workshops and go through the 8 play personalities that people might have. So someone might have a director play personality. They love to throw parties. Like, they love that process of organizing, putting stuff out, inviting everybody. Whereas someone else, that's not fun at all for them. They may be someone that's an explorer. They just love to go out and travel and go journey. Like, I'm not much of an explorer. I'm more of a storyteller. So that's one of my play personalities. When I did that little test in his book and went, oh, I'm a storyteller. I love really engaged conversation. I love teaching workshops and physical because I share stories with people. And then I'm a kinesthet. I love moving my body. So there's 8 play personalities in the book with Stuart Brown. I highly recommend people pick it up.
Cool. So when you can think of that bossy 8-year-old on the playground directing her friends to play house and how it's working.
That's exactly
the director personality. And absolutely, she eventually grows up to become, you know, a marketing manager or executive company or somebody who's really good at just organizing things or keeps the family on track.
So think about, we've always heard the term, the zone that athletes get into, mm-hmm. Or also called the flow state by this gentleman, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. So when you're in the flow state, when you're fully absorbed in something you're doing, it feels like it's timeless. That's probably where you play. And I'd highly recommend people say, what is it? Where do you get in the zone, in the flow state, where you just do something for it? Like, I actually enjoy physical work because I'm a kinesthet. So I don't mind going out and raking or working the garden because that's somewhat play to me because I'm very much, someone that's a kinesthet as my play personality.
Can you describe how that's play? Like, what about that is play?
It's just fully absorbing. Like, you're fully absorbed in the moment. You're in the present moment. And it's just, it brings you joy. It feels good. You might say, obviously, going out dancing is probably more playful than raking in the garden. But since I really enjoy moving my body, that's quite playful for me. For someone else, it might not be, but they might be, be knitting on the couch, and that's there. They're an artist creator. See, I see the painting behind you. You said your mom did. When she's painting, she's playing.
Oh, no question.
Right. So that's play for her. So we just have to figure out where we get in the flow state, where we get in the zone. You know, I know someone who's just really competitive. And I finally realized, when I play basketball with this person, it's like, oh my God, they were just mean and controlling. But that was playful to them. And then that person also is a great director. They, just started nonprofit organizations. And so, that's more play to him. So as adults, if you want to see the purity of play, again, go back and play with a 3 or 4-year-old, because they're just exploring the world and it's all play.
It's interesting. So like I'm wrapping my head around how you kind of distill or define this.
You almost can't define it because then it's, yeah, it's almost can't be defined. It's more, is it joyful? Is it connecting you to your energy and your spirit? Are you doing it? It's timeless. You could do it for hours on end. You know, someone may go out and be collecting sea glass on the beach. That's play for them. That because their play personality is more of a collector. That's play. Whereas, you know, that wouldn't, I might do that a little bit, but I'd rather go out and enjoy the challenge of playing golf because I love to walk and I like the game of golf. So that's playful to me. But the real essence of play is really that real engagement, that just spontaneous in the moment, creating, being connected with another human being. That's probably the real essence of play that I think we need to get back more to. So go play with a young child, go out dancing. I'm part of this organization, Eastern Cooperative Recreation School. That's what we do. We spend a whole 5 days during the wintertime at our winter workshop, and it's all singing, dancing, arts and crafts, improv theater, it's all day. It's almost all play. And it's
great. That's awesome. It must be very liberating for people to hear this who might think, well, I don't really play that much. I don't have time for play, to recognize that activities that they're already doing are actually play.
Yes. As long as it's, again, done for the joy of it, it's absorbing it. It may actually be work, but for someone that's just, you know, like who's a director personality, for them, like organizing and running things, there's a piece of play in that, you know, that they can remember that's their play personality.
Huh. So invite everybody now to think for a moment about things that you may be doing that are actually play.
Yeah.
Hello, listeners. This is Michael from the Psychologists of the Clock podcast. If you like what you hear on Untangle, let me extend a friendly invitation to check out our show as well. We are four experts in psychology that bring you cutting edge and science-based ideas to help you flourish in your relationships, work, and health. You can find Psychologists of the Clock wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and you can visit our website at offtheclockpsych.com.
And how you can identify the things that you're doing that for you are play, mm-hmm. and try to find a little bit more of that in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, well said.
Can you talk more about the physiology of laughter?
It just feels good. It moves breath. It moves, you know, the blood flow. You will start sweating if you laugh for, you know, 30 minutes straight. So it's really healthy exercise. I mean, it just raises the dopamine levels, obviously. I think it puts us quite quickly into that, you know, stress, the relaxation response. Mm-hmm. It just puts you quickly into that. So if you, you know, have had some stress and you laugh, it's going to balance out, you know, the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. So, you know, I think that's what it's best for, is just allowing us to de-stress.
Cool. Yeah. Well, when you deep breathe, you actually tug on your vagus nerve, which is what regulates your parasympathetic nervous system.
Right.
So the act of laughing is doing that, you know, to a heightened degree.
Yeah. It's one of those things that you just know it feels good and you just know it's good for you. It's just, I mean, after I've done laughter yoga, I feel like I've just done a really good workout. You know, that joy, that high you get from working out, I get the same high. So to me, it's releasing all those good chemicals in your brain that allows us to feel relaxed and connected, and not stressed. It's an instant de-stressor.
Which we could all use more of.
Absolutely. Continually throughout the day, you know, so give yourself a minute of laughter here and there. That's what I love about laughter yoga, is I just lead people through about 18 playful exercises that get them just constantly keep on laughing, just simply shaking hands and laughing, or walking away and then come back screaming and hug each other in laughter, or we do robots, we move around like robots and laugh, and just adding the laughter to it just heightens, and then people's laughter triggers more laughter. When you look at someone's face and they laugh, it's almost an instant reaction. Do you know laughter has no accent? There's not a Japanese laugh or an Indian laugh. There's different laughs. You know, you go online and Google up some, you know, Google babies laughing, YouTube. You'll just find these videos of babies laughing. It will crack you up. There's another guy that does called the funniest laugh ever. And this guy goes, and just hearing him laugh cracks you up. I can't even imitate it.
Just hearing your impression of him started to make me laugh.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he just has this chuckle. Yeah, I think if you went on YouTube and find the funniest laugh ever, I think you'd find this guy. It's hilarious. So, and I've been told, I think when I do laughter yoga, I have this high-pitched giggle that comes out of me most of the time.
I'm laughing, imagining you with a high-pitched giggle. Yeah.
That's one. I have a number of laughs, but that's kind of my go-to that just comes out of me. And that gets people laughing. And usually other people, there's just so many people that have wonderful, wonderful laughs. So, and that, again, all human beings laugh. And a lot of, you know, a lot of primates laugh. Chimpanzees, monkeys, gorillas laugh.
Really?
Yeah, there's a great one of Robin Williams talking to the gorilla. I think it was Coco, and they're tickling each other, and the gorillas go, ooh, just watching a gorilla laugh is pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the things that we can do to bring more laughter into our lives?
In some ways, we've been taught to suppress. To suppress our joy. Like, so at some point you were laughing as a kid in school and you were told to be quiet, or, you know, sometimes people start stiflingly laugh. It's just let yourself laugh when something's funny, and let yourself, when someone's funny and something, you start laughing, just keep it going. Just laugh. Just let yourself fully express it and just laugh and laugh. So that's one. Go to improv theater shows and let those people, you know, laugh. Watch the show Whose Line Is It Anyway with someone. Just be willing to be the person that laughs. They have some experiments. They have some, again, on YouTube, you go where somebody just started laughing on a subway car, and all of a sudden everyone started joining in after a while. So if you see someone laugh, join in.
Okay, so this is the time when everybody listening has the permission to just laugh.
Yeah. And every once in a while a snort comes
out. Oh, that must be embarrassing.
No,
you just keep laughing.
No, just keep on laughing.
Anybody feeling shy or awkward out there? Pause and go wherever you need to know. Give yourself permission to just laugh.
I have no idea who's watching. There could eventually be one person watching or 50 or whatever.
Just imagine hundreds of people laughing in this right now. Do you have a favorite joke?
No, I don't tell jokes.
You just have people start laughing.
Yeah. Well, that's how laughter yoga started. They got people together, told jokes, but after six sessions, they ran out of jokes. And Dr. Madan Katarian said, let's just keep the laughter going. So that's what happens.
That's the greatest joke of all. Let's just laugh. You ran out of jokes. Just keep laughing. That's the joke.
I do one that I actually ask people to say things really average and then just laugh. So I step forward and say, I have gray hair. We all start laughing. Someone steps forward, I'm short. And we just laugh because it's just so average. Like a FedEx truck just pulled in. That's funny. Because they run a podcast and FedEx has arrived. So in a moment, there's going to be a box placed right next to me.
There's a box. It's brown.
The FedEx guy's like, we're doing a podcast. Can we put it right there?
Does the FedEx guy want to laugh? Come, he should join our laughter yoga for a minute.
He is laughing.
He's laughing. Bring him over so we can hear.
He's smiling. He just walked up and went, he's had this big smile on his face because he heard us laugh, and he gave us another thumbs up.
Giggling in the truck.
And that's the gift, Ariel. That's the gift, because if we feel our joy and we laugh, what does it do for other people? I, you know, like pull up to the toll booth and maybe laugh. You know what? I actually don't mind. I haven't gotten an easy pass. I actually like stopping and connecting for a moment with the person in the toll booth. Because I'm going to get an easy pass one of these days because it is more convenient. But I actually like the moment of connection. Just say, hey, hi, how are you? And they just, you know, just give a smile and have a nice day.
And now I figured out just in the course of the conversation, my play persona is explorer. You know, we talked about the person being on the beach picking up glass. I was like, that sounds really boring until you look at each one and you look at the way the light comes through it and how different they are, and you dive into it. And as you describe breaking him, like, that sounds boring until you start to like experience your muscles and play with where they move and the sensation of them and feel into them. I am such an explorer. It's only once you add the exploration that I'm like, whoa, play is here.
Yeah, that's why you do what you do. You are constantly exploring new thoughts, new people to bring that information to other people. It's really quite cool. So, you know, I think I've been one of those people in my life. Why I love play because people laugh when they play. And when I found laughter yoga, I fell in love with laughter yoga because, wow, we give the gift of laughter to each other. It really is a gift.
Well, thank you for giving this gift to us. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
So I encourage people after the podcast, go look in the mirror and laugh, or go laugh with your 8-year old. You know, kids will get you laughing pretty quick if you just say, let's just laugh for the fun of it. You know, do gibberish. You know, just speak in gibberish to a kid and they'll just start cracking up.
Laughter, the gift that keeps on giving, the gift that keeps on connecting. Good for your body, your mind, your physiological systems.
Yes, absolutely. You know, just keep on laughing. Keep on laughing and playing. You know, one of my favorite, I don't know, it's like an anonymous quote that said, God is happiest when her children are laughing and playing.
Aww.
So.
Well, thank you for making us very happy today.
You're welcome. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Let's spread the laughter. Oh, my cheeks are starting to hurt.
That's what happens. Thank you for having me.
So it's howardmoody.com?
Yes, howardmoody.com. www.howardmoody.com. Two books out that I think would help teachers and anybody working with kids. Click on them on my website. Nurtured Heart Play, which is about this body work called the Nurtured Heart Approach, which is a very loving and playful way of being. And the Heart of Play Games Manual, over 200 activities for connections and joy. Sort of my games manual.
Take care and have an awesome and playful day.
Thank you. Really nice to connect with you in this format. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, my sincere pleasure. That was Howard Moody. So after recording this episode, I've actually been incorporating laughter yoga into my life by just starting myself laughing when I have alone time. I can start tee-heeing, giggling, guffawing, and then it props funny thoughts or good memories, and I just keep laughing for 1, 3, 5 minutes. It has done wonders for my mood. I feel great afterwards. And it's done wonders for these abs. Whew! You can find out more about Howard Moody at his site, howardmoody.com. And you can find his two books there, Nurtured Heart Play and The Heart of Play Games Manual. And if you want to see Howard and I laughing out loud on the video of this episode, you can find it at arielgarten.com. And finally, if you want to start or further enhance your existing meditation practice, Muse gives you real-time feedback on your brain while you meditate. If you've ever sat there meditating and you're like, what am I actually doing? What's going on in my mind? What am I supposed to be doing? You're carefully watching your thoughts and you're like, if only I had a mirror for my mind. Well, that is Muse. Muse literally shows you what goes on in your mind to either get you started in your practice if you've never had one before, or to provide an amazing mirror to give you insights into your own brain. It gives you real-time feedback during your meditation and then data, scores, graphs afterwards that show you what your brain was doing moment to moment. It is used by hundreds of thousands of people all around the world to meditate. It's used by institutions like Mayo Clinic, Harvard, NASA. It's used by professional athletes in pro golf, NFL, and Olympics, and more. It's also used by wonderful people, moms, dads, teens, teachers, to just start or maintain your meditation practice every day. If you're curious about your brain on meditation, check out choosemuse.com. That's choosemuse.com. Or if you have somebody in your life that doesn't meditate and you want to give them a little nudge and a leg up to do it, grab them a Muse. You can do it with the discount code UNTANGLE15. Till next week, keep laughing, keep loving, keep light, keep joy, and love on.